I want to thank everybody for calling
Talk
in.
Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched a lot of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Thank you. Thank you all for tuning in tonight for this All About You radio show with myself as the host, Tiffany Thompson. Thank you so much. We are live. I want you to know this is a live recording. And I thank you all for your patience. For some reason, we were delayed 30 minutes, but it's all is well. All is well. I'm truly excited about tonight's show. We have some very, very special guests on the show tonight. And before I bring them on, I'd like to really discuss on the reason this was our topic on tonight. And the purpose is to get answers and solutions concerning the police brutality in our cities, in our states, throughout the world. It's not just happening in the city of Chicago. It's throughout the world. If you watch the news, you may have relatives, friends, or family. And we're going to bring in some people that we believe that can give us solutions, answers to the questions that we have as mothers, that we have as parents, that we have as individuals, that we have as a community, as a people. And so this show really may move us all in different ways, but just watching television and seeing all of this on the internet, how the police are killing and getting away with it, it's just like really enough is enough. And so the passion that I have in my heart for people, the passion that I have to see some type of justice being done, God moved on me to do this show and have this topic. And so I just thank him for that. We're going to bring on tonight Mr. Jeff Baker. We're going to bring Mr. Jeff Baker on. We have Mr. Jeff Baker. We have Michelle Patterson. We have Mr. O.J. Patterson. Okay. I turn your mics on. Are you all there?
Jeff Baker is here.
Okay. God bless you, Mr. Jeff Baker. Michelle Patterson, O.J. Patterson, with us?
Yes.
Okay.
We're both
God
here.
Bless you, woman of God. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for your passion as we explore and go into a subject that's sensitive, very sensitive, especially to especially when you feel like there's no hope. When you feel like there's no hope, when you continually watch this on the TV, on the news, in the neighborhood, and you feel like there's no more hope for the people. And so now we as black people have really walked around as if we've really given up, you know. And you have a few that's still fighting, but we want unity. We want the people to know that there is hope, there is answers, and then how we can stand together as one and make a change, you know, and make a change. And so before we go off into this, I always start this show off with a prayer, because at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, it's all about God. And we need him. We need his strategies. We need his answers. We need his instructions. We need his love. We need his power. We need everything that he has to make all of this happen. Amen. So, Father,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to acknowledge you tonight. For you said, acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our path. And so, God, we thank you for direction on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for this show, God. We thank you, God, for doors being open even now, God. In the name of Jesus, God. God, we thank you for a prepared door, a prepared place, Father. Father, most of all, we thank you for justice, Father. We thank you for liberty in you, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for everyone that has humbled themselves, Father, to come to this show, Father, to, Father, lay their life down, God, to open their life up, Father, to whomever, Father, is in need, Father, of hearing, Father, this word, Father, hearing the solution and strategies, Father, what it is that it's going to take as a community, as a people, Father, to get resolution, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Father, I just thank you, God, right now in advance, Father, for anointing all ears, Father. Father, let us be open to one another, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let us be sensitive to your spirit, Father, most of all, Father, and most of all, Father, we want solutions, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, we honor you, we glorify you, and we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And I'd like all of you all, starting with Mr. Jeff Baker, to come on and introduce yourself. I did a little research on you, and you know, and the work that you've done in the city of Chicago. But I'd like for you to also share it with the people.
First of all, thank you again for extending the invitation. To talk about this very, very, very important and, as you stated, sensitive subject. My name is Jeff Baker. I've been involved in community organizing for over 15 years. And basically, I've been blessed. I've been a machinist since I was 16 years old. I went from being a machinist to being a CDL driver. I've been gainfully employed for quite some time. And I've just always made time to help less fortunate people and help to fight against injustice. So I started off in my alderman's offices. Then I started finding organizations in the community to work with. And just helped to organize. And I became pretty good at helping to organize and set at the table of many organizations. One of the most important organizations I've sat down with is the Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression. And that organization has been championing the passing of legislation that would allow regular folks like you and I to have oversight over our police officers, so that when our police officers commit crimes, they get treated the same way that we do. And we think that this will, you know, have a profound effect on the violence within our community if we can monitor and affect the violence going on against our community, against our youth, the disrespect that our youth are subjected to by those that are supposed to protect and serve us. So been working on that for quite some time. And what has gone on in Ferguson and the awareness that has been brought to regular folks all across the nation has pushed this type of understanding and this type of legislation to the front pages of the newspapers across the nation. And we have an opportunity right now to have the discussions such as the one we're about to have right now about how do we effectively protect our children and make those that are supposed to protect and serve and look out for our best interests, how do we make sure that they're actually doing that? And, you know, I'm glad we're having this conversation today.
Amen. Michelle, were you about to say something?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm just listening in right now.
Okay. Well, introduce yourself as well. I'd like for you and your spouse to introduce yourself as well, because I know in the show, during the show, he'll be sharing his testimony as well as it relates to police brutality.
Okay. Well, first, I just want to thank you also for bringing us and inviting us in on the show to give our input and also to listen to the other people that are on the call. I definitely stand by Jeff Baker, and so I have a dual role here because my husband, who has Ojo Patterson, who has been directly affected by police brutality, and he'll be able to share in his own words. I have actually been an organizer also in Chicago for over 10 years. And the important issues as it relates to the issues that actually affect people with records and, you know, getting people, making sure that they have jobs and making sure that they are employed, and which also is connected to, you know, some of the issues that seem to be, you know, coming from our community. And, you know, the city tries to basically say that these things are, you know, are actually running together. So as if that they have a reason to be able to treat our community or treat our men and abuse them based on whether, you know, whatever their status is, or whether they have had a record or whether they've been arrested. So I've been pioneering in this area and working in Springfield to basically support legislators, legislative decisions to be able to help our young men and make sure that they are in a position of empowerment. So I stand by Jeff Baker, as also he is in the running for alderman of the 21st Ward. And so as his campaign manager, I will be supporting these very issues that are actually affecting our community. And I stand by my husband as well in advocacy of making sure that we have justice on his behalf.
All right. Okay. I like that. Amen. Okay. Well, let's get it started. Let's get it on the roll. I was. What really touched me was. Sometimes we think that, you know, we look at our right now, our present situation, our current situation, and the killings and all that's been going on for the past few years in our city, in the city of Chicago. And then we look back years before we were even born, and we see how blacks were being treated then all the way up until now. And, of course, now, you know, it's not as bold as it was then because of the laws now, you know, that's been in place. But it in such a way, it's still going on. You know, it's just going on in a legal, and some of it is illegal and some of it is illegal. Some of it, there are a few police that are bold with what they do and get away with it or think they're going to get away with it. For those of us that are listening, that may think that there's no hope. You know, I've watched my parents go through this. I've watched Martin Luther King go through this. I've watched. You understand what I'm saying? The history, and even though it looks like nothing has happened, because Martin Luther King paved the way. He paved the way, but it just still hasn't ceased. It still hasn't stopped. And everybody that, I have to say this, everybody that doesn't have the same color of our skin is not prejudiced. You know, everybody that's not our color, because sometimes we'll get caught up in that. because we're black. And I'm not saying that's us per se, but different parts of our neighborhood, they think like this. This is how they think. If you're white, you don't like us, or, you know, we don't trust you. And everybody that's not our color, that's not the case. That's not the case.
If I may jump in, you know, you mentioned how, you know, it was bad decades ago for us, and it's bad now. I think what a lot of that has to fall at the feet. Well, 50% of it has fallen at the feet of us as members of the community, not paying enough attention and not being as active as we should be. And the other 50% falls at the feet of our so-called leadership, those that we put in place. If we paid more attention, we wouldn't have the terrible leadership in place that we have. We have to become much more, exhibit much more self-control. And when I say self-control, I mean we have to be in control of our own education. We allow that to get away from us. So our schools are shut down even when we don't want our schools to be shut down. The curriculum that is taught is not a curriculum that allows for our youth to leave school and become successful in college or in the world. 40% of the graduates that graduate from Chicago public schools have to take remedial reading upon going to college. So they can't even start college courses when they enter college. They have to take courses that don't even give them college credit. 40% of them have to take remedial math. That's a travesty. These are graduates of Chicago public schools. So we have to exhibit self-control. We have to become more in control of our schooling. We have to become more in control of our own economics so that we can control our community. For instance, I mean, the Asians, they have an industry that they run, that they control, and that industry allows them to hire their own children, hire their wives, to hire their cousins. Their children don't have to leave outside of their community and go and ask someone else for a job. We have to be in control of our – so we need to take over an industry as well. The Asians have done it. The Arabs have done it. The Indians have done it. The Indians have gas. And you'll find their children working behind the counter at multiple gas stations and Dunkin' Donuts. You'll find their wives doing the paperwork and working behind the register. They can hire their own people. Therefore, they are independent. They are self-controlled. They are in self-control. We have to have control over our police, and most importantly, well, not most importantly, but just as importantly, we have to control our own media, our message. We have been demonized all across the nation, and in saying that, with America being as broad as it is and being as accepted as it is all across the world, if we have been demonized in America, we have been demonized all across the world, the globe. Black people in America have been demonized. You see over and over and over again the terrible things that black, quote-unquote, black people do, the gangbanging, the killing, the brutality. It has been run reel to reel and banged into people's heads to the point that we don't even recognize ourselves. We fear other black people. And when I go around and I tell people, here's a fact, I tell people that in Chicago this year, in 2014, we are going to set historic record for murders. When I say that, people say, yeah, it's extremely violent. I mean, yeah, they're killing everything. Yeah, they shooting it. But the history, the historic record that we're going to set is going to be for the least amount of murders in Chicago. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that because we are not in control of our own media. We are not painting the picture of our own community. We are letting someone else paint the picture of our community, and they have demonized our community. Nobody knows that this is the most peaceful year since 1960 in the city of Chicago. We have had the least amount of murder since 1960. And this is the type of miseducation, misinformation that allows someone to shoot down a black man in Ferguson, Missouri, and get away with it. This is the type of misinformation and demonization that allows young black men to be shot down by police officers nationwide. So we have to exhibit some self-control, and we can get a handle on this thing. And as a matter of fact, in Chicago, we can be in control of this thing. We can control our own police officers, but we have to organize to do so and show some type of self-control.
Yeah. And, Mr. Baker, I have a question. As it relates to, so for many of us, that's the bigger picture, and that's the most important picture. For those that may be listening that may be directly impacted by police brutality, and maybe they have been targeted, or maybe they have not been necessarily a game banger or any of these things, and, you know, they've been educators or people that have been, you know, riding in their cars and just stopped by officers, you know, regular police stops. And they're dealing with the police brutality, or they're dealing with the intimidation and the aggressiveness officers. How can we, you know, respond to those individuals as a, you know, first response, you know, so that they can know that the community is behind them, you know, that they have someone to reach out to?
My personal belief is that we are in a long-term struggle, and those that have found themselves to become victims of this injustice have to become soldiers, because nobody is going to fight for us. The current, if you have been mistreated by police, you have been harassed by police, you have been profiled by police, currently the process is go to pick up your phone and call the police. And the police will tell you to call IPRA, which is the Independent Police Review Authority. The Independent Police Review Authority is actually an oxymoron. It is not independent by any stretch of the imagination. It is an appointed entity appointed by the mayor, which makes them nowhere near independent. So this is the board that has oversight over police misconduct. And the fact that they are not independent is reflected in the number of police officers that are disciplined for harassing our community, for harassing any community, for misconduct in general. So we have to become soldiers. There is no quick fix. There is no pick up a phone and justice will be done. And we have to get out of that state of mind. There is no quick fix. Nobody is going to fix this but us. And what happens is most people don't recognize that until they become a victim. So you don't have people just fighting to empower our community until they have become a victim. And Ferguson has taken us a long way to bringing in people who have not necessarily been directly victimized, but has awakened the nation about this issue of police brutality. Ferguson has been a wake-up call, and it has tipped the scales, and I think that people are listening now, people are paying attention. I've been fighting this particular fight for this legislation for 3 years, and I can tell you overwhelmingly, when you knock on people's doors and you say, we have to stop this police brutality, we have to stop these police getting away with murder, and harassing our children and throwing them up against cars and going in their pants and mistreating them. People say, yeah, what about these gangbangers? That has been the mentality. I don't want to hear about that. What about these gangbangers? These gangbangers are killing everything because they have been misinformed and our community has been demonized. So to those that have been found themselves to become victims, become a soldier. Get out here into the fight. Find an organization like StopPoliceCrimes.com and join up and start spreading the word. Start passing out the information, the flyers. Start recruiting other people. Start telling people that they have to be a soldier before they become a victim, not after. And after, they definitely have to become a soldier because nobody else is going to do
that. Right. That's right. And that's one thing I've noticed, that nobody moves too quick until it hits their home, you know, until it touches down either a relative, a family member, or them. You know, all of these movements are going on out here. We don't know, and then that's another thing. We don't know who's real, who's not real. We kind of like stuck on the wrong stuff. You know, the thing about it is, are you real? You as a person, because you're gonna know who's real, or who's not. You know, you're gonna be prompt to know who to step in and help, or who to or who to help push. You know, because it's not all the time. Everybody's not a leader, and that's another thing in our community that I found. Whether it's in the churches, whether it's on the job, wherever we're at, if everybody wants to lead, nobody wants to follow. And if they're not the leader, they don't want to do it. They're not. They don't want to be a part of it. If they're mm-hmm. not leading, you know. But someone has, every leader had to follow somebody. They didn't just wake up leading.
Amen.
They had to get taught and trained by somebody before they were turned over to become a leader. And that's what our culture, I noticed in our culture, we fight against each other over things that are irrelevant. And because it's... And I'm just using this as an example because it's Michelle that's leading. I'm not going. Oh, she's the leader. Oh, okay. You know, and I've noticed it. We don't look at the root of it, the fact that forget the fact that God called Michelle to lead, but that the fact that she's leading for a cause that's going to benefit you, your children, your neighborhood, your community, your church. But it's for a cause. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I have someone that's pressed. Just go ahead. When you're done, I have someone that pressed the one button to speak. I don't know if they have a question or concern, and I do want to put that out there also. Feel free, for those that just called in, we're talking about the police brutality. And we have Mr. Jeff Baker on the line. We have Michelle Patterson. We have her husband, Mr. Elder Patterson, on the line. And if you'd like to, Mr. Baker, we can take a call now, or if you want to finish your statement.
No. Please.
I was okay. Just going to say even deeper. This is Ojo, says, what's going on, Jeff?
Okay.
Even deeper. In talking about knowledge, these guys, this government is not concerned about us, you know, because first of all, we're not together. We won't stand together, you know, just like now, you know, I kind of put a few people in it because I'm still fighting the case. I'm not going to say too much, but even now with me, you know, a lot of people know my character. They know who I am in Christ, and you know, they get the information and this and that, and they will not come out to support. And that's all it's about. It's just about numbers. You know, even with something like this case is getting thrown out because God knew what he was doing when he was doing it. You know what I'm saying? This thing is about numbers. You know, everybody want to see things. Everybody want to hoop and holler about what's going on, what needs to happen, what's not happening, but ain't nobody putting in no action. Everybody's sitting back and having groupies. They're having groupies about situations and things that don't even matter and that they're not going to support. You know, that's what it's time for too. We talk too much as a people. Let's get a base together, man, a base of people who really about change. You know, that's what it's about, man. I'm tired of meetings. I didn't hear this stuff so much. And here it is, the Lord has put forth a prime example. I want to charge everybody here that's on this line to come to a court date and support me. My court date is on the 22nd, in a few days. I charge everybody that's on this line, everybody who's talking about police brutality. I'm innocent as a dove. I know what it's like to be as guilty as a bald-faced lie, but right now I'm innocent as a dove fighting with Christ. I charge you. In Jesus' name, let's stop doing all that talking. Ain't no time for no meetings. This stuff is happening. It's real life. They charged me with an aggravated battery on a police officer, a resisting arrest, and a trafficking of narcotics, an eighth of a key of cocaine. You know, so. And with that being said, the Lord has already the drugs got thrown out, which is 75% of the case. Then they threw out the tickets that the police wrote me. Now I'm just fighting a battery on a police officer, you know. So, yeah, that stuff has been thrown out, you know. Now their credibility messed up. They said I had drugs. They tested it twice, and it came back negative. So that's the question. They said they wrote me tickets. This was gone on my car. That was gone. They wrote me tickets a mile away from where they pulled me over at. You know, so it's just we won't even follow up with this stuff. And I've been in jail before. I've been incarcerated before. That's kind of really probably why they probably did all that stuff. I've been incarcerated before for gun cases. But even in those, it's something that the police is going to do. This system of injustice system, should I say, is going to do what they want to do just because they know we're not going to follow up. So, it's just how it is. However much stuff we go for and that we let them get away with, that's how much they gonna get away with, and more, and what they want to get away with. So that's plus. You know what I'm saying? Everything that we don't follow up with is gonna have a plus sign on it because they gonna get away with what they want to get away with anyway. So we just making it worse, not following up. You know.
That's right.
But it's.
What time is your court day? And where is it?
9 in the morning, Cook County on 26 in California.
Okay, what courtroom?
I was in 3 something last time, but when you come, we're going to be out there. We're going to be deep out there, whoever comes. So it's...
I wanted you to give that information over there for all of those that's listening, because there are listeners listening to this. And we may not know who's listening. We may not know who's going to show up. So you may be offering up a challenge, and they may take you on that challenge. So that's why I asked what courtroom, what time.
Courtroom 306.
Cook County.
Courtroom 306, 9 o'clock.
306. Okay.
October the 22nd.
Okay. Yep, October 22nd.
Okay, let's take one of these calls, okay? Your mic is going to stay on. I'm going to keep you on, you and Jeff. But I want to take this call. This caller has been holding on for a while, okay?
Okay.
Hello?
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 Am I on here?
Yes, you are.
Okay, how you doing? I'm Lynn Overkill. I'm a musician and filmmaker and general overall activist. As far as I have some really strong political views when it comes to police brutality and race, you know. And the main thing is that as a people, we need to change our whole paradigm when it comes into race. And part of it is that we don't really understand the laws of the system in which we live in. I refer everyone that I talk to about these particular subjects to the 13th Amendment. And what the 13th Amendment most effectively does is not free the slaves, but change the form in which slavery is practiced. So it changes the slave state from a chattel enslavement where you can buy a person and they work for you to a prison industrial complex to where if you are a criminal, you are in that same slave state, you know, and we're often putting ourselves in that state because of the status by which we claim. You know, we call ourselves African Americans, but then when you say, well, where are you from in Africa? No one seems to be able to, well, very few people tend to be able to name the actual country they're from. So in changing that paradigm, part of it is to claim your true personhood, your nationality as opposed to your race. Because outside of slavery, there is no such thing as a black man or a white man, okay? I mean, we are many people. We're not one people. I mean, we're Congolese, we're Liberians, we're Ethiopians, you know, Egyptians, we're all over. But we tend to be called one thing in this country, and that's because of our association with race, with slavery. When you eliminate that whole thing out the paradigm, then you become a Kenyan, a South African, as opposed to that. Now you have two statuses, your American status and that African status, as opposed to one status, which basically there's a mathematical theorem that says if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And if you're an African American because you were black, and you were black because you were colored because you were Negro, and you're Negro because you were slave, then you're African American because you're slave. So they treat us accordingly. They treat us as if we are still in 1864 as opposed to 2014. Ferguson is a classic example. You shoot an unarmed man, and you don't even get a charge placed against you. You don't even lose your job. You know, that same guy gets caught, you know, talking to a prostitute, and he loses his job. He loses his thing. He gets caught, you know, with a gram of cocaine. He loses his job. He loses his thing. But he just kills a human being, and he's able to walk free for weeks on end. You know, and still they're investigating. They haven't even decided to even charge him with the crime yet. So you see it right there plain in plain sight. It's difficult sometimes because we cling so tightly to all of the different titles and statuses that we have in amongst ourselves, you know. And it's hard for people to appreciate the fact that not much has changed in 150 years. Okay, so I just like to hit you with a couple of statistics, and then I'll let it go. But last year, the so-called black man spent in America $625 billion. That's billion with a B. Now, there's some countries that don't have a GDP that amounts to that, you know. Well, the other statistic I'd like to hit you with is that in 1864, 99% of all of the so-called black people worked for white people. And in 2014, 98% of all the so-called black people worked for white people. So what really has changed since slavery? And I have many solutions to those problems. But the first solution is something that one of the previous callers hit on, but they didn't elaborate on, and that is knowledge of self. Know thyself. I don't mean know yourself as a black man or a black woman, but know yourself. Jane, Sally, Sue, Tanika, whatever that name is. Know thyself. In that, you'll know the whole universe, you know.
Okay, sounds like somebody's phone going in and out. I don't know if you have the but the phone. So it sounds like what you pretty much boils down to is the fact that you're saying we don't know our identity. We don't know who we are, because if we knew who we was, we would stand for who we were and for who we for what we believe in, if we knew who we were.
And others would have a greater appreciation for that, but more so than that, we would know our true value in America. And I mean, everything we call black is 100% American. You know, you don't have rock and roll without black folk. You don't have a lot of things without black folk. You know, it's a lot of grandchildren of some of the red tails that, you know, their grandparents are very thankful that those black men learned how to fly those planes. You know, things of that nature. But there was a survey in mid-2000s, around 2006, and they surveyed high school students, black high school students, and asked them what is black and what is white. And what came out of that survey astounded me, what our own children tell us is black, you know.
Okay. Okay, well, I have another caller. I thank you so much. Stay with us. Not a problem. Stay with us, okay?
All right. Hello, Miss Tiffany.
Okay. Yes.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello. Was that Mr. Jeff Baker?
Yeah, this is Jeff Baker now. It just sounds like somebody's speakerphone is on and is giving feedback. Am I the only one that hears it?
Yeah, that's what I believe it was the gentleman that was just speaking. If anybody's on the speaker, Michelle, if you all are on speaker, because every time I talk, I can hear it. Yeah, it sounds like a distortion in the phone. We have another caller. Let me grab him because we only have 18 minutes left, okay? And I really want you all to elaborate on this. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for calling us All About You radio show. Can I have your name, please? Hello?
Hello? Are you speaking to me?
Hi, yes.
How are you? Is this Sister Tiffany?
Yes, it is.
Okay, this is Sister Kim. How you doing?
Hi, Kim. How you doing? God bless you. Thank you.
God bless. Yes, I could hear what the gentleman was saying, and I think what it is that we as I don't want to say color, but we as people, we don't know how to stand up and fight for justice. And like how, you know, he was saying, you know, that the police get away with this or that. But if we come together as a people and stand and fight for justice, because, in other words, the police is doing what we let them do. So if we continue to let them do this to us, then they're going to continue to do it. So we as people got to stand and fight for justice. We have to do that because they're treating us the way we let them treat us. See, because can't nobody do to you no more than what you allow. And I know that God is going to heal and restore that young man. And, you know, it's like what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn it around and work it in his favor.
Yeah.
And that's what I just wanted to say tonight, you know, so that he can be encouraged, you know.
Yeah, because he's already, I mean, concerning what he's already given us, God already doing it. I mean.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He's already doing it. Like, he got one more round. But one thing I want to say is also.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to encourage him on what Kim was just saying, that sometimes, like he said, sometimes we don't step up until it's us, until it happens to us, or until it's close to us, a family member, child, or whatever the case may be. Sometimes God allows things to happen so that we can get up and fight.
Right, and fight, and fight, and make us stronger, you know?
And they're not, because they're not fighting just for you.
No, no,
this
you're not.
This case may be just for you right here, but you're fighting for a people.
That's it. And we have to learn as a people to work with each other, because I think sometimes, you know, we don't know how to stand in unity, and it's like we're against each other instead of for each other. And once we learn how to get along and love and help and support one another, then we can be better, and we can be, you know, God will bless us more and elevate us more. But it's too much of us being against each other instead of, you know, standing up and, you know,
unifying.
I'm not saying that people is not, you know, with him, because, hey, I'm touching and agreeing. You know, I mean, I enjoy, you know, his knowledge, because God has given him knowledge and wisdom, you know, to know his rights. And I'm just basically, you know, proud of him, you know, because he's letting the enemy know, look, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, this is not going to, you know, what he's going through, it didn't make him bitter, it made him better, it made him stronger, you know, and he got one more round, and he's going to come out with the victory. He already got the victory, and he already got power, you know,
it's
over the enemy,
won.
So, you know, it's just a blessing just to hear, you know, what he shared with me, you know, and with the world, you know, that's just a blessing, because I'm encouraged by it.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much for those encouraging words.
You
have something to say, Elder Patterson?
Well, Ojo, if Ojo is not going to speak, I would like to echo his sentiments. I'm hearing what everybody is saying, but I really want us to be focused and specific. We're talking generalities, and we talk about getting to know ourselves and being encouraged and fighting the system. But we got to be focused and specific, because people don't coordinate and join forces on non-specifics. But if you put a specific before someone, they can join forces and collaborate to make something happen. So when we talk about police, we're talking about a Civilian Police Accountability Committee, an elected Civilian Police Accountability Committee, which means that regular folks like us can have oversight over our police, so that we can determine what is excessive force and what is necessary force. We can determine that. We want to put the D back into democracy. We want democracy work if you work it, but it does not work if you don't drive it right. It's like a Corvette, and you don't know how to work a shift. It's just a big hunk of steel. But if you know how to work it, democracy can work. And we have to work it, but we have to focus on specifics. So police brutality, I want us to do the work of finding organizations that are working to give us control over our police. I want us to find organizations that are actually making headway in filing Title VI complaints with the Department of Justice, which forces the Department of Justice to come into town and look at your police force and say, hold on, there's a lot of illegal things going on here. We are going to demand that they meet certain benchmarks. It has happened in other states, and Chicago has a much worse record than those other states. I want us to look at our educational system and find candidates and find people that are going to push for an elected school board. Whatever we can do to bring people closer to the decision-making process, we need to be active on. So we need to look at our education system and go find Coco, who has been working for years on an elected school board, on bringing people to the table to control their own school system, so that we can determine what our curriculum is, and not this garbage curriculum that sends our children out into the world unprepared for success. I want us to control our media. I want us to find. I gave Michelle, Sister Michelle, a list of about 18 different local black-owned media outlets, journalists, people that call themselves journalists and bloggers. We need to hold them accountable. We need to reach out to them and say, "Hey, this young lady has a blog radio show that is bound in Christianity and talks about everyday issues, and we need to promote it. We need more people to know about it. We have to hold those black media people accountable.
Yes, we do.
To protect us and to rewrite the definition of who we are so that nobody else is writing that definition for us. We have to own that. So these are specific things that we can do, and I want us to try to focus on these specific things as it pertains to economics. We need to embrace cooperative economics. And cooperative economics is for people that have a little but want to own something big. That means we can put all our littles together and own something big. So we don't have to have jewels on the corner. We can have the 87th Street Co-op. If Jules is not willing to bring benefits to the community when they come in, we can own the grocery store there.
So yes, we can.
We have specifics and lay those out and then pull people in behind those specifics. And then we will start to move forward. I think our leadership has been misguided. I think our leadership has misunderstood the term leader. You lead from the front. You can lead from behind. You lead from example. And you lead from action. And you make things simple for the rest of us. I think somebody earlier said, everybody is not leader. You know, to some extent, everybody is somewhat of a leader, but everybody can't lead everything. So sometimes we have to jump in line behind someone else who has a great idea, and we have to do the work to make that idea.
And learn from them, right.
And also, with that said, Jeff, the one thing that I definitely want to make sure that we actually provide people with that specific. I mean, it's more than one specific, of course. But, I mean, as you stated, right now, the CPAC, which is the Civilian Police Accountability Council here in Chicago, that's a task force that's already working on the issues that we've been discussing. So, exactly how can the callers, even if that's a first step or a first start, to allow them to be able to voice the things that their concerns, how can they come to the table to start with that specific, the task force that will be able to hold police accountable?
First and foremost, you find organizations that are doing the work, and the Alliance is not the only organization that's doing the work, but we are one of them. And we can connect people to other organizations. Somebody said something about reinventing the wheel. We have to stop trying to always reinvent the wheel. If there are organizations out there doing good work, let's get behind them and make them better.
Right.
Even if those organizations are not doing the best at it, maybe they could do the best if you're sitting at the table. Even if they are a little bit off course, like the NAACP Southside was before I joined, everybody said, oh, it was a garbage organization. But sitting at that table and demanding, holding people accountable, turn that organization around and bringing other people to the table. So we have to be, we can't look at organizations and people that are trying to do things and say, that's not a good one. We've got to jump in and make it good. So with this police crime thing, the website is stoppolicecrime.org. I'm sorry, .com.
All right, I'll check it. Pardon. Stop Police Crime, okay.
And there's a bunch of information on there.
.com, okay.
And we're looking to improve on the website, but you should be able to navigate through it, and the telephone number is on there. You can get in contact with us. And wherever it is that people feel as though they could be helpful, you know, we can point them in that direction. Maybe it's not our organization. Maybe it's the New Jim Crow organization, or maybe it's the Stop Mass Incarceration organization. But we're all fighting the same fight. Me and Michelle went down to Ferguson this weekend, and we did great work. We alerted people about this legislation, and people were excited from California to New York. They were excited about this legislation, and they could duplicate this in their states. So this is a small change that we can make until we get our community to the point where we can totally expel outside police officers and police ourselves. Until we get to that point, we can have oversight over those that are policing us.
Wow. Man, I really, really enjoyed the show tonight.
It was really a great show. Very informative. Yes.
Amen. I really enjoyed the show. So we got a few leads. We got a few starts. I mean, if we can take what we've heard from everybody's point of view and apply it, because I don't think tonight was a wrong answer given by anyone. It was everybody's thoughts and statistics, opinion, but it all led back to coming together as a people, as a community,
mm-hmm.
as a whole, knowing our identity, who we are, because if we knew who we were, we'll know that we were strong, that we're a force to be reckoned with when we stand together. If we knew who we were, we wouldn't fight against one another, but we'll fight with, as a whole. I'll fight with Michelle to get something done. I'll fight with Jeff to get something done. You know, I won't fight Jeff or fight Michelle, but let's fight the systems that's out here that's been trying to stop us since the beginning of time. And I was thinking about this scripture in the Bible where it talks about how the children of Israel were strong in numbers. They were powerful. And yet Pharaoh was intimidated by them. Why would he be intimidated by someone who he had in slavery? They were his slaves. But yet he was still intimidated by his slaves, because they were God's chosen people. They were God's chosen people. And they've always been gifted, and we've always been gifted, talented, and strong people. And even in saying that, how he took a look at those people and said they're multiplying in numbers. This was one of God's commands, was for us to be fruitful and multiply. Subdue the earth, conquer it, take over it, it's yours. I gave it to you. And when you know who you are, you go get what belongs to you. If justice belongs to you, go get it. Whatever belongs to you, get up, fight, and go get it. And because those people, we were chosen from the beginning, is still chosen now, and yet the enemy is still intimidated by us, because we're smart, we're intelligent, we're beautiful, but we believe the wrong system.
Yep, only thing we got to do is get on one accord.
We believe we fell prey to the wrong system, and a few have sold out for that system. But everybody having bowed. So I just want to say thank you so much, Mr. Jeff Baker. Give him your information again as he's running for alderman. Again, I looked him up on the website, on the internet, and I said he's doing a lot of work. And when he got on here, he said he'd been doing it for 15 years. So I thank God for that. I really do. I pray that you're strengthened in him, and that you continue to be a force and a voice, and that God be with you. I thank God for Michelle Patterson, her husband, Elder Patterson. I thank God for you two as I've watched you stand together as one. From the moment you got married, y'all went to work. Y'all got together and went to work, and so I like what I see. I love that. I thank God for you all, for you all's unity, and for how you support one another, but support other people and to support the movement that you see that's being done in the earth. I thank God for that. I really do, because they're leaders. But one thing about Jeff's a leader, Kim's a leader. But one thing about when you know you're a leader, you're not afraid to stand in the background. you're not afraid to support someone else.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's it.
So I thank God for
that's
that.
It.
I really do because I don't mind helping anybody. I don't mind supporting anybody. I don't mind at all. I actually love to see people doing something. I love to see it. But before we pray and get out of here, I want Jeff Baker to quickly, we got 60 seconds. I want you to quickly give me, say your information, give your information again on the line. This is a live recording. I can put the link on social networks so you can go back or you can come back to the website and you can listen to the show again over and over and over again. You can share it on your page. You can share it with some friends. Give your information. After you're done, OJ, I would love for you to give your give that information and coordinate and information out again and pray us out of here. And I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Very quickly, Jeff Baker, Baker4Alderman.com is the website. StopPoliceCrimes.com is the other website. And telephone number is 773-559-2075. Always open to have a conversation and discuss issues. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
We can't hear Ojo. Okay. Ojo, you on?
Hello.
Ojo? Okay.
Yeah, my bad, guys. My name is Ojo Patterson. My cell is 708-646-5739. I'm also a part of FORCE. That's Fighting to Overcome Records and Create Equality. We go in and fight on behalf of felons. They get out of the penal system and can't get jobs and in school. I work with FORCE through CRS, which is Community Renewal Society. You can visit the website at Community Renewal Society or to check and stay posted on the legislative acts that we get involved in and changing laws. And my wife's cell is 872-214-3455. Thank you, guys. Let's put together this move, man. Let's move out, you know, on anything. All of our resources, things that we need are right here. Whatever resources you guys don't have, Jeff Baker has. Whatever he doesn't have, we have. Everything is right here at the table, guys. Let's put it in motion.
Hey, man, thank you again, Elder Patterson. Michelle, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm
going to turn off. Take 30 seconds and pray us out of here.
Okay. Well, first of all, we just lift up the woman, the hour the Lord has given her stewardship over this radio show. Father, we thank you for Tiffany Thompson, Father. We thank you, Lord God, and we bless the listeners, Father, in Jesus' name. And going forward, we would love to even hear more of their feedback and comments, Father. We thank you for the time that they've taken out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask, God, that everyone that has been present, every ear, every voice, Lord, that you will continue to use them in your army, God, and that they will be empowered to move forth, oh God, and to bring forth justice, that they will not look to another man, but, Lord God, that they will start with themselves. But Lord, we start with ourselves, with you being Christ in us, God. We're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, God. And so we thank you, Father, and we glorify you, God, and we're looking forward to the next time, God, to be able to speak, God, on your behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all for logging on and calling in to It's All About You radio show. I hope you all were blessed because I was. I want to say thank you, and until next week, if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet again. Good night.
Good night.